cannot become like everyone else.
Not a lot has really changed, except for there are lots of new jobs.
Go out and get a job. You haven't got a chance in hell of getting an interview unless you understand how AI works. Okay, you can work outside the coal mine loading the trucks. You know what that job pays?
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schuller.
We are here today to talk about jobs and the risk of your job becoming defunct, what you should do, what you should think about, and how people need to be looking at their jobs. I personally don't think a lot has really changed since mechanized farming came in, and you can shoot me down on that, but actually you've always had to upskill yourself at work. And not a lot has really changed, except for there are lots of new jobs that are being created and have been created. And I'm going to go through a list of those a little bit later, but I'm joined by Stephen J. Manning again, and he has lots of experience within the AI space and obviously within business as well. And we are going to just go through this topic, but I don't think my opinion on it is going to change. I think it is a question of literally just continuing to upskill. I mean, what do you think, Steve?
Since the beginning of time, big topic, you know, just as you and I connected this morning, or this evening for you, I was pondering about the big upheavals in history that not ever going to equal the internet, but, you know, then somebody created the wheel. So what happened to the people that were pushing the plow and carrying stuff? Well, they became ox drivers. You know, and how'd that work out? Well, they drove a lot farther with a lot more weight and a lot more purpose, and just broadened the whole idea of transportation. And then some very smart guy came up with this whole electricity thing. Oh my God, that's going to destroy everything that's human driven. Not really. It's just people figured I can plug it in and work twice as hard. And then going into our times, forget the telephone, my God. Really? I mean, we can talk to each other long distance without yelling at each other in person. And then, of course, the internet, which is, in my humble opinion, the single greatest invention in the history of mankind, other than chocolate chip ice cream, perhaps. Some of my friends insist chocolate chip ice cream is a much bigger invention than the internet was. And that's going to destroy the world, destroy human discourse, destroy everything. Well, that turned out to be not the case. In fact, it propelled human mankind forward in an amazing way. You know, try to get an appendix removed without some internet component. Just that doesn't exist. And then, of course, the biggest kahuna of all time, which would be, social media, which I think it's the cancer of the intellect. And then, of course, AI. Now, AI is not new. It's just bigger, better, faster, more polished. More dimensional than the AI that we were into in 1980, which is weren't smart enough to call it AI. McKinsey actually came up with that one. I call it synthetic data, but it's the same thing. What we're doing today is exactly the same, except it's enormous and comprehensive, bigger, stronger, and all that. And every one of those massive upheavals immediately sends hundreds of millions of people, perhaps a billion or two in the world, into an incredible tizzy. Our lives are over. Machines are taking over. Yeah, some machines are taking over some functions, without a doubt. You and I spend a great deal of time talking, writing about the rise of the machines, the singularity, quantum computing, or the ultimate demise of everything that's relevant in society. Well, that's not true. But there are, in fact, significant shifts of emphasis in the workplace, emphasis, personal development, growth. Some of those shifts are just titanic, if that's the right word. They are, without a doubt, beyond anything anyone ever imagined. But the world is not coming to an end. hear this from Steve Nostradamus here, but it is changing. It is changing, but it's every time there's this incredible upheaval, which of course people personalize. What does it mean to me? I'm a shoemaker. I'm a bus driver. I'm an engineer at Raytheon. What does that mean for me? You know, and it does mean something different at various different levels. What does it mean for me? I'm a day laborer. Okay, I'm a really enormously paid assembly guy at Ford Motor Company. But if you walk into that new plant and look down, they're only humans in there, are maintenance people. And one other thing that I find very amusing is the tech people at keyboards perched above this million square foot thing with machines and cars, and they have keyboards, and they're wearing hard hats. Now, why are you wearing a hard hat in the office while you're pounding the keyboard? Well, it's a manufacturing plant. You should wear a hard hat. But they're not losing their jobs. They're just getting bigger and better jobs. Yes, there are assembly workers that are now work graveyard shifts at a convenience store, because it just missed the whole notion that the world is changing. And again, I'll stop with this. My mantra, which I repeat several times a day, in today's world, if you stand still, whatever it is you do, whether you're a laborer in a plant, whether you're a plastic surgeon in a massive practice in Milano or New York or London or Beverly Hills, California, if you're the best of the best, if you stand still, you will fall behind. Very simple. So the question is, how do we address that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always a skills gap, right? That's why we have on-the-job training. That's why we learn new skills. That's why we take the time to study, right? I mean, it's not rocket science, but we have to, sooner or later, we have to take the responsibility of that upon ourselves. Right. I mean, that's what I'm big on, the responsibility of upskilling ourselves, because there's always something you don't know. Right. But basically, this skills gap is growing at the moment. But I think people are trying to address it. There are lots and lots of courses out there that you can do, but also you can change jobs. Right. I mean, you know, you're not a tree. Yeah. You can get up and you can move and you can change jobs and you can study. And actually, one of the most important things, in my opinion, is actually being adaptable and learning adaptability skills, of being able to say, well, actually, I am good with a computer. I could, in theory, change, or I am good with people. I can teach people how to use AI, as an example. You know, actually, being an AI trainer did not exist before. Being an AI ethics specialist did not exist. Being a prompt engineer, which is another good one, specializing in crafting effective queries to get the best output from AI, that's a good job, actually. AI auditor, so you check the systems for bias, errors, and performance issues, and you probably will use an AI tool in order to do that, I would imagine, certainly in the next few years. You probably can already. AI explainability expert. That's an interesting one. I like the sound of that. AI safety engineer, AI powered healthcare specialist. So, you know, you can do diagnostics on patients, etc. You know, there are so many of these jobs. You know, you can become a chief AI officer. So you're in control of the AI systems. You know, there are just so many things here. It's actually quite fun, I think, really. In particular, I like the new role of education and lifelong learning. I think that's interesting. From what I found here, traditional degrees, like you say, Steve, are no longer sufficient, right? Because half life of skills is shrinking, basically, is what it says here. You know, there are so many extra alternative credentials that you can get your hands on, and there are skills which are not going to go out of fashion, skills that are featured in Monday Influencer, which we talk about every week, which we have in the learning management platform. So if anyone's listening to this, you want to upskill yourself, you can sign up to Monday Influencer, risk $1 to do that. And we have all sorts of amazing information in there, which will help you to stay one step ahead. If you in particular want to go into management, it's great for that. And there's just so much out there that actually I'm a little bit overwhelmed with the amount of changes that are going on. I mean, there's a new app you can connect to your ChatGPT or Google, Gemini, whatever app you're using. You can connect new ones every day. But actually, we talked about this before, and if you want to remain intelligent and safeguard your intelligence, you need to actually be continually learning and using your brain instead of outsourcing your thinking to AI. What do you think, Steve?
Nathaniel, I just made a mental list of 8 things you touched on that are massive. So I'm not so sure I know where to start, but allow me just a minor digression. You bring up the Monday Influencer, and we deal with a lot of these issues week after week after week. And I'm humbled to say that the acceptance of what we talk about is exceptional worldwide. And I need to share that I received an email overnight from a man who was a colonel in the U.S. Armed Forces, 25 years in uniform, still a young man, got an advanced degree in engineering, which was particularly relevant to his job in the Army, and then he retired. He tapped out, capped out in terms of promotion, and did not want a desk job in the Army. And he just sent me a thank you note. But he was reading one of the Monday Influence abstracts, and something we said resonated. And he went on to apply for other jobs and absolutely focused on something we said in one of our podcasts, and landed a job in technology. Let me rephrase it, technology/business. And something that for him at his stage is an entry-level position. That's his, and he was very clear, perfectly willing to start new because the world around him has changed. Side wow. note, his entry-level job where he's going to be trained, this high-quality person who's got a master's degree, wow. he's going to be trained. Oh, by the way, his starting salary is bigger by margins than his final salary in the Army. So wow. I sure appreciate the kindness of the note. Now, there is one aspect of all of this, if you will, that is challenging. There's a social, anthropological, political, whatever it is, component in the world today where there are too many people who I call are victocrats. They're not Democrats, they're not Republicans, they're nothing, they're victocrats. That makes them professional yeah. victims. And yeah. they're victimized by birth. Well, I was born in the wrong place, wrong time, wrong parents, wrong sex, wrong race, etc. And they're victimized by their lack of advancement. And therefore, they are owed. It's a very pretty ordinary Marxist sort of idea, but they're victimized. They're victims. They're professional victims. I call them victocrats. And they are owed. Now, the part about being owed and advancing, as you describe advancement, is I call that the bride paragraph. You know, paradigm. You know, the best-looking bride in history, the most beautiful gown, the most greatest promise. It's a perfect package. Locked in an apartment, not going anywhere, will remain a wannabe bride. Unless the pizza delivery person is the ideal mate. Okay, so what exactly are you going to do about it? And we live in the single greatest opportunity structure that ever existed, in my humble opinion. First of all,
I agree.
Talk about data, talk about knowledge, talk about tools. Good God. Some of us talk about this, you, me, Tobin. There was more data added to the knowledge base in the world yesterday, one day, than in the preceding entire history of mankind. Now, what does that mean? Quite frankly, anybody who went to one of the great bots, ChatGPT or Grok anywhere, posted something, asked a question. You just enhanced the database with that question. And then it developed answers that is in the database. I can go back a month from now, and it'll recognize I asked a question about you before. Now, yep. So the opportunity to learn is immense. That said, if you spend the rest of your... The amount of knowledge out there is incomprehensible. If you begin right now and spend 18 waking hours trying to learn about any one subject, pick one, shining shoes, splitting the atom, growing grains in a very arid climate. One of my favorites is producing more llamas in Peru. For the rest of your life, you will be a talented beginner. There's just not enough time and lifetime to digest all that. That's it. Is there a job out there for you? The answer is there's a job out there for you. Just look at the employment data, particularly in the United States.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that resonates for me talking about how does all of that integrate with where we are, where the wheel is? The wheel is now AI. That's the wheel. That's the electricity. That's the phone. AI. Now, go out and get a job. You haven't got a chance in hell of getting an interview unless you understand how AI works. Now, again, we preach yep. this every day. Oh, my God. I'm roadkill on the AI superhighway. I heard that for years when the internet became a known thing. Oh, I'm roadkill on the information superhighway. The answer is, of course you are, but not true. Okay, meaning, how do you get a resume to company ABC so they can consider you for an interview? Well, you submit it. Where? Online. How? Online. Yep. There's a mechanism for it.
Yep.
And by the way, when you post that thing, hey, can I have this job? Because everyone in the world has one of these, a keyboard. Everyone has one of these. There is no shoeshine person in Bangladesh that doesn't own a mobile phone. Remember, AI is the greatest democratic equalizer that ever existed. Now, so when you do that, since everybody can, you're going to be one of 4,000 applicants that day. Because back in the day, not everybody could fill out the forms and really make a good pitch and cover letter. Oh, by the way, you have many tools. I'll tell you exactly how to do that. And why do you want to use the tools? Because the reader is the flip side of that same tool. So now if you don't understand how to construct a letter, hey, I have great credentials, I have experience, I would like to apply for that job. And here they are. Good luck. You better figure out how AI might construct that, because there isn't a man or woman reading that on the other end. There's another AI processor who aligns the your skill sets, what they want, and analyzes the tone of what you wrote. And it's infinitely nuantical, picks up nuances and words, patterns of speech, and so on. And that machine, if you will determine whether you get a callback. But you want a 5,000 because it's easy to do.
Yeah, it is, but it's not. You might not even get a call back after that.
No, I mean,
first of all, you're going to get you're going to get reviewed by the AI to see if your covering letter fits the covering letter that AI would actually want to read. So if you leave out the keywords that you that are important for
that
the
is why
same
you,
thing with
that's why you have your AI bot help you.
But you also need some substance some sort of consistency across to show that you've done something for a certain amount of time. And even if you are rejigging your career and you're moving into something new, you need to show you can learn new things very quickly. You can show you've got some sort of experience. And I know people, there's one guy on my LinkedIn, and he's been unemployed for 8 years, this guy. And he keeps sending me a mail saying, have you got any work? And I keep saying to him, well, I'll quite happily help you to find some work, and I will give you access to Monday Influencer, and you can have access to that for a year. And when you get a job, then you can stick around. And he doesn't ever answer me. So it's funny because you can get all this help. All these people are willing to help you to get a job, but actually, yeah, a victocrat that's happily staying at home, not working. And it's funny because he's a software engineer. So what would you do with your time as an out-of-work software engineer? I mean, for me, even just being a user of some of this technology, I see so many opportunities to have fun and create things and grow things, like our new career advisory application that we've integrated into Monday Influencer. So you can put in there whatever job you have, and it will tell you if you're at a high risk, medium risk, or low risk, and it'll tell you what you need to learn and what on top of the topics that we provide at Monday Influencer, which are all business related, soft skills, etc. It will tell you what other skills that it thinks you will need to learn based upon a massive amount of research that we went and ran so that it could even create this. But it's just like, I was really excited about that. And I don't understand how people can actually not be excited, because it's not just AI. There are so many things around the outskirts of AI. Like there's physical, there's, for example, there's solar power and connecting wiring and all of these electrical things that you can do now with that. There's data center management. There are, internet security is another niche, right? There are some amazing things that people can do. And I just don't.
I said this in jest, but probably it's not. Is I said to somebody, said, gee, who was just desperate and credentials. Don't I said, have you given some thought to finding a job in mining? Well, I'm not a data guy. No. I mean, like mining coal. You know, there's a lot of jobs in that, because there's an industry that has potential for growth that's astounding. And you can be a loader, a truck loader, and make the kind of money that's like fantastic, because people don't want to work in a coal mine. Okay, you can work outside the coal mine loading the trucks. You know what that job pays?
No.
Why would I want to do that? Why? Because you know that the only thing that can derail AI, we just run out of juice. We can't run out of juice. Good. We got to make juice. Exactly. You know how we ate? It's going to be clean coal. It will be. And then there'll be nuclear. Solar is almost prohibitively expensive. Wind is an unmitigated disaster, and so on. By the way, I must go back to sending out resumes. You're going to send out that resume knowing that 2,000 other people have done that. So what are my chances? Man, I better fit just right. The good news, bad news, highly unlikely you'll get past the gatekeeper, being the machine that analyzes all that. But the good news is you can't get 100 of those out a day. You can apply for 100 jobs a day. And as you get, maybe you get better, get a little feedback, you get better. So day number 9, when you're at the 900 resumes you sent out, one of those might just resonate. And when it does, that would be the best fit. Think about it. Oh my God. You know what's better than being rejected by 100 people? It's rejected by 200, with 201 being the job. That's a good thing. You know what?
Yeah.
Nobody ever jumped the tall hurdle or won Wimbledon who didn't lose a whole bunch. You know, we talk about success. I say this incessantly. You know, when you think about failure, first, don't consider failure an option. That is a non-starter for me. If you wake up in the morning thinking you're going to fail, you are predisposed to failure. That is a prescription for disaster. Do not bother getting out of bed. Just lay there and feel sorry for yourself. But let's just say that, remember, I'm going to fail. We just wrote in the last Monday Influencer Abstract, and the one that will be published tomorrow, about the obstacles people face in starting a new business. There's successes, there's personal obstacles. We wrote about that last week. I encourage everyone to read that because I think it's really meaningful. Every one of us has dealt with that. I'm going to fail at this new business because, well, here's the prescriptions on how not to fail. And then there's business reasons. That's tomorrow. If you don't want to read that, as my dad used to say, well, that's on you. Now, the opportunities are bountiful. Again, I need to go back and say that we never preach you have to become a technologist, you should become an expert. No, you don't. In fact, you're going to destroy your life trying to do that. What you have to do is you have to become a user of that technology. You have to figure out how to do it. Oh, my God, I can't go back to college. You know, I barely survived high school last time. No. Once again, God gave you the opportunity to have an internet connect for almost free and gave you a keyboard and gave you Grok and gave you Copilot and Gemini. Now, if you can't sit there for a day, figure out how to use a piece of technology, I think you need to move in a little room above the garage of your grandma and watch mindless 100%. Cartoons all day, because it's there. It's there. And if you're willing to do the work, oh, by the way, no one ever succeeded that wasn't willing to do the work, unless you get lucky and win the lottery. Not going to happen to me. Or unless you get lucky and inherit a bunch of money from your parents. That's never going to happen to me. So you know what? But doing the work has never been easier than it is now.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. But also, a lot of these jobs, I mean, for example, I wanted to find out, like, what's going to happen to a social media manager, right? And I did some research into that. And actually, what's interesting is AI is becoming so good that if you aren't highly skilled, you will basically you run the risk of becoming a technician instead of a strategist. So the AI will basically replace your job. If you aren't good at writing captions, generating images, creating video scripts, you're basically, and scheduling posts, you're basically becoming a slave to the AI, which has replaced your job. And then what will happen is that in 3 years, 5 years, maybe sooner, you will be replaced. You know, Facebook is actually going to be having their own ad engine that's going to do a lot of work for people very soon. I believe at the end of this year, it's going to have that. So, and there are loads more. Reach out to me if you're worried about that, and I'll happily kind of point you in the right direction. But in terms back to the CV and the resume and the covering letter, you still need to work out why you're different and better than anyone else. And this is something that I've got a lot of experience in doing, in helping people with CVs and things like that. And actually, this is becoming part of Monday Influencer, because it would be rude not to add that. I think everybody needs to be able to take care of their personal brand. And that's an important part of what we're doing. And we have trainings on that within the platform. And we are releasing more and more of these every week. We're adding extra audios and obviously our regular video, which is this one this week. And And then Stephen and I, we write the Monday Influencer, which is just the kind of assistance that you actually need in life. And it doesn't just cover your career. It covers your life, covers everything that you need to create the life that you basically don't need a vacation from. And that's something I'm big on. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying you don't need to do any work here, right? Everyone has to do some work, but it's something that I think is important. Taking the time out to be more strategic about where you want to be and planning your life is crucial. You know, okay, now, it really is.
I want to add one little thing to what you said, that I don't think it's little at all. Actually, I think it's massive. Now, I'm going to give all of you fine folks who are watching, listen to this, a little more incentive to join our group, join Monday Influencer. By the way, when you do, you accompany some really, really interesting and very fine folks around the world who actually get it, if you will, who are focused on success, who are willing to say, okay, I will do better, I can do better, and I'm going to succeed, and here's how. That's where we come in. We are the fuel. We are the fuel and propellant of your engine here. Now, the interruption, pardon me, is a moment ago I said that the AI is the great democratic equalizer. We can all do what you said. We can all go to machines. We can go to the machine and say, write me a 212-page book. 9 chapters or 10 chapters on this, and I can come up the most obscure topic or most power topic, and I can get that. So then, and then of course I can also generate the resume like everyone else. I can do all of that. So the question is, why bother? Because it's, when I'm having this brilliant thing idea, there's not 1,000 people having it at the same time. And they're going to do it. And among them are people who can and will have the time, the money, the inclination to do it, they'll do it. Meanwhile, I go back to doing my job or my telegraphing what will be a topic in the next Monday Influencer. Now, we do two things. We publish a Monday Influencer every first Monday of the month. That's a robust call that a rocket ship, you know, the rocket ship that can go back, come and re-enter and carry freight, carry everybody. In the other 3 Mondays of the month, we publish what we call an abstract that is much more focused, and it's very topic specific, and it's specific. We tell you this is a major, major issue. Here's how you combat that. Here's how you overcome those obstacles. And we actually spell out tasks, timelines, and expected outcomes. And we tell you that if you follow that, you're on the path to success. What I'm telegraphing is when people say, well, geez, everybody can do that. Everyone can do this, everyone can do that. Here's one of the reasons you subscribe to Money Influencer, like now. The next one, first Monday of July, there's a section devoted to a critical component, always has been, but it's more so now than ever, which is all part of the success formula. In context, what we're talking about, how do you achieve to succeed? You have to create a unique advantage in the marketplace. John, why me instead of the other 4,000? Why my coffee shop instead of the other 2,000? Why would that succeed? Okay, I'll go back to college. I'll get an MBA in finance. Good. Now, why will I get that job at Morgan Stanley where other people don't? Why? And my answer to that, and that's something that we aim to spend a few words on, more than a few, is how to achieve the unique advantage in the marketplace for your skills and the business paradigm that you have or anticipate. You have to create a unique advantage in the marketplace. I mean, how the heck do you stand out? And, you know, if you read the abstract tomorrow, you know, we talk some about one of my paradigms, which is like one of my, you know, okay, so your town on Main Street has 25 coffee shops. 25. It's just a little Main Street. I think the 26th is a pretty good idea. Now, how do I make that uniquely different? But it's a pretty good idea. On the other hand, if there's only one, that's a much bigger mountain to climb. Why two? Okay, now think about it. Why is that the only one with a line around the corner and there isn't a second one? Takes me to Me Too business. I always loved Avis.
I understand that.
Okay. Okay, now you see, this is one of the
problems. Yeah.
This is one of the
problems like
with
the
AI. My phone decided I needed a tutorial on this. Now, see, I liked Avis better than Hertz. And I wrote about this extensively, and I talked to the third rental company who hired me for some limited wisdom. I said, you know, why do I want to be Hertz? Well, market leader, the name, everything, the value. So how come Avis is doing so well? That's Avis is a quintessential Me Too business. Well, we'll do a day to rent cars. But there's some really smart folks said, well, we can't beat the name, the legacy, all of that. But what can we do to get people to rent from us? And then they figured that out. I like Avis. Of course, my client was number 5 or 4 or 5 or 6. And you know what? They got lots at every airport. And they rent good cars. You're not going to rent a Jaguar or a Lamborghini or Ferrari, but you're going to rent good cars. What are the rates? The rates are 10% less. What is it? What else are they doing differently? Oh, there's a list of 7 things. How do we create a unique advantage in the marketplace? So when you're, okay, I don't have a shot in hell at that, getting that job. Matter of homework. You may not get that one, but try to get that one being unique. That's something you just said. How is that for improving for next picture, next and next? Eventually, if you stay with it, you will find that 1 or 2 or 3 companies that say there's something different about Schooler than the other 2,000. And you know what? Even they get tired of the machine going through 2,000 resumes at 40, 30 every day.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty soon, the good people that really have to look, people do the hiring. They're going to go back and tell that machine, I really want somebody a little different. Bingo. You may just make the cut of 20 because now they're no longer going to get 30 or 40 a day. They're going to get 10 or 20 a day. You know, I mean, I remember when I ran a big business, and that was before 10,000 people applied for the job. Well, we put in an ad in the right places or an entry-level position that does this. And after HR got done writing it, I would rewrite it because I said, you know, let me close my eyes and picture the person I want. So, oh, good. Now, I only get 80 resumes a day. Filtered. Anyway, it's you need to create a unique advantage in a marketplace, and you cannot become like everyone else. That would be a key to your success going forward. And we are all very different. You want to be yeah. Sheep? Go ahead, get shorn. You want to be the boss? That's a different paradigm. You want to succeed? Hey, like I said, you walk into town, there are 25 coffee shops right in a row. Well, think about it. I think I can open the 26th. Obviously, people love coffee. Now, what am I going to do different? You know how many cups of coffee I'm going to drink and how many stupid Danish I'm going to eat before I figure that one out? Too many, but that's what I will do.
Well, thanks, Steve. That's absolutely absolutely super. I hope people find value from this. And if you are watching this till the end, like most of our videos, get a very good watch-through rate now.
Thank you.
And it's thanks to Steve putting out some great content and us having some fantastic guests. And just want to thank you for supporting Monday Influencer, everyone. And do go to MondayInfluencer.com and check it out. See what we have there. We're just about to update that with the career advisory, which is already in the system. So please go and sign up. Your risk is $1. $1. Come on. Check it out.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.